one, yes, prayer?
No.
Oh, he's here, right?
Luke, chapter 7. Verse 23. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Can we hold on for one second? Go back to 22 for just a second, please.
Okay.
Jesus answered them, go your way and tell John the thing you have seen and heard. And how the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, all things that seem logical. But to the poor the gospel is preached.
That's the only people, that you won't believe this, but it's throughout the scriptures. The gospel is preached only to the poor. They're the only ones that can hear it. And the poor is that word, paktos.
It doesn't imply to me that the poor are hearing it. It implies that somebody, it's someone's job to tell them.
No.
To the poor, the gospel is preached. It doesn't sound like that's on the poor. It sounds like it's on the preachers.
It is. It's on all of us. To the poor, to the paktos, to those that have not been able to complete a thing.
Poor, define poor.
Let's the word is PT. Oh.
I don't care what the word is. It's not poor monetarily. It's not, or is it?
Well,
poor?
It's poor monetarily, but many of the poor are rich. Monetarily, I mean, they're poor from the standpoint of money, but they're rich from the standpoint of opinions.
Right.
Okay,
they're rich from the standpoint of opinions.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, right.
So the whole idea of
that just confuses the whole thing.
Well, it should. The whole idea of the gospel, the only ones that can hear the gospel, that will hear it in terms of abandonment and death of self, are those for whom their opinions have been, their ideas of life have been shattered, their ability to complete a thing has been lost. That's the true meaning of poor.
Right. Broken or the things that we talked about before, I just don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
Okay. Right, that's fine. But Who is supposed to do this preaching?
You, me, whoever's in your world.
So when we see someone who is not poor, or we see someone who is poor?
No, this isn't saying.
This isn't conversion.
No, this is saying. What he's saying really is, let's go to Isaiah 60.
This isn't a command to go out and be
a. No, this is a what is, not a. Isaiah 60, is it? Or is it?
Yeah, Isaiah 60. No,
it's Isaiah 61. Shut up, Barney. What?
Changed his mind.
Where did we end up?
Isaiah 60. This is the first thing that Jesus said when he began his talking. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of one of our God, to comfort all they that mourn. Now let's go and see how he quoted that passage from Isaiah, how Jesus quoted it. So let's go to Luke 4, I think. Luke 4, starting in verse 16. He just finished his temptation, and he came to Nazareth. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, on the Sabbath, the leader of the synagogue asked seven men to read. And normally, they were the same guys. But if there were something unusual happening, as in Jesus, then they asked him to read. He read from the place in the three-year cycle for that Sabbath. And this is the prophet reading the Haftarah for that day. So we have it figured out what day of the year when Jesus started this, what day of the year it was when he started preaching here, because it was the three-year cycle and this was a reading for that particular day. And he stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or the scroll. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now the Hebrew word that he translated as poor was meek. And that's probably a mistranslation because I trust Jesus more than I do the translators. Okay? We just read what we read in Isaiah, which he's quoting. It said, "Preach the gospel to the meek." Here it says, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You see how important that is?
Isaiah, it says, "Preach to the meek."
Well, it's a Hebrew word, and this is a Greek word.
So that meant meek, and this means poor.
But I'm not sure it meant meek, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a translation that it could have easily been translated poor. Especially this word, paktos. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So the first thing that Jesus said in quoting the prophets on the day that he stood up to read on the Sabbath, "Preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel to the poor." Now, it's not our business to run around and figure out who's poor. It's our business to preach the gospel, but only the poor, the paktos, will hear it. There's a lot of cases where there's what we now call the Buckner syndrome, where the wife hears immediately, and it takes 38 years for the husband to hear. No, I think you've heard. But anyway, there are a jillion examples. This is what it means. Because you weren't poor, and you had all these ideas of what you're going to do. And so what did God do? You earned money to put in a bag full of holes. The little you had, he blew on it. Why? To cause you to come to a place of dependence, totally and always. Now again, take Mr. Heffa here. When he came in desperation.
He?
Heffa, Jeff. But what happened? Slowly but surely, his opinions resurfaced.
No.
I'm a pretty nice guy. There's certain ways you have to behave. So slowly but surely, the angels that God sent to him to make him really mad, slowly but surely are tearing away, breaking down those 500 idols, those worship that you had given breath to in the temple. And it's only when you've reached the end of yourself that you can hear. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah, I think so. Am I the poor, or am I supposed to be doing the preaching?
Both.
Both. You remain poor.
Yeah, you can't, as you received him, so walk you in him. You can never, ever again. There's a word that's what that gain, those that preach gain is godliness, from such turn away. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But the word gain is a word that means corruption.
Yeah, preaching does that kind of thing to me also. I kind of feel like if you set out to preach, you've polluted it, and it's probably...
Right. Mr. Novello thinks he wants to be he wants to teach. And I said, well, you shouldn't teach until you find out you don't want to. We've seen this syndrome before. Amen? What are you doing, Gary?
I was thinking of the day of my salvation. That's the best way to say it. And I was very poor. I had come to the end and nothing worked. I was done. And then that's the place where you walk. You know at that point that God inhabits you, but that doesn't mean you raise yourself up now that he's you're aware.
Well,
you remain in that poor place so that he can live. The minute you try and get out of your poverty,
then he takes the lowest seat.
Yeah.
But what happened? When I met you, had all kinds of ideas of what to do.
Yeah, I thought I was supposed to do something.
Right, because you stopped being poor then.
I met you and picked up the cross right away.
No, you weren't met me, and no matter how much I tried to talk you out of it, you went to Christ for the Nations.
And you're rewriting history.
How did I rewrite it?
Your only injunction to me was to remember the basic.
No, that was the last injunction. When you first mentioned it, I told you that it was going to be what it was going to be, because I'd spoken there a lot of times.
Yeah.
There was teacher after teacher after teacher, each one a different thing. But all that gain is godliness.
Yeah.
And I just told you, once you decided, I said, just remember this basic.
Yeah, and I did. And it was like I was very comfortable with everything going on while people around me were in agony. Because one day they'd hear it one way and they loved it, and the next guy would dismount what that guy said, and they just were torn up.
Amen.
Horrible.
All right, Luke. Everybody, anybody else want to talk about what the poor is? See, Ronnie thinks he's poor, but he's got so many opinions that he thinks that he's rich.
That word for
meek
is
yeah.
Did we say that means empty too?
I don't know.
I'll
have to look that up. All right, Luke 7, verse 23. This is where we were before. Somebody said, before we start, can we go back to verse 22? So now we're in 23. Is that all right with everybody?
We're burning daylight here too.
Arguing about what verse we're on.
And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is Makarios, not subject to fate. And it has all the things that are a part of that. It means that you have redeemed the time. You have your basis of life is peace, etc., etc. And offended, not be offended in me. It's scandalizo. It means scandalon is the basic word that comes from. If you've ever seen that video we did on Comedy Central, that preacher was right. He had this big rat trap, and he was showing what scandalon means. And if you go, if the trap is set, and if something grabs your attention about the bait, then boom. And he was teaching that, it triggered and he hit his finger. It was a big rat trap.
Yeah.
He made his point. Yes. Memorably. But anyway, so what can grab your attention away from not being offended? What can offend? How can you be offended in Jesus? Blessed are they, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You're not offended in him by you remaining in that position of emptiness. You're offended in him if you return to cause and effect. You offend him if you return to judgment. You offend him, and every time you leave that position of emptiness. So blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Now let's look at a bunch of scriptures.
That kind of works both ways. It's like you're offended in him, but he's offended in you.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
all right, let's go to Isaiah.
Well, we got a quick question. The friend said that if you offend Christ when you condemn or judge others, and when you condemn or judge yourself.
Yes. You offend him if you haven't forgiven everyone from the heart. You offend him in everything unless you remain on the mercy seat. Getting off the mercy seat, you offend him. Okay? All right, let's go to Isaiah 8 first. This Isaiah guy was kind of important. Start in verse 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. That's not kind of... So, associate yourself means find people of... That agree with your idolatry so that you can do something. Gird yourselves. That means protect yourselves in any way. And you're broken in pieces. Doesn't matter whether you're near or far. All right? Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. Why? Why would that be? That's kind of important here. God is with us, and therefore everything you try to do and plan comes to naught. Do something.
Yeah, and even if you speak the word,
it shall come to naught. For God is with us.
Yeah. So that's his mercy, actually.
Yeah. What does it mean by take counsel together? Is that the counsel between your heart?
No. It's talking about you with somebody else. You find somebody that agrees with you and you go after it.
I do a lot of self counsel.
Well, that's because of. Which one is talking now?
The real you.
You're done.
You're done.
Done and done. You're done. Hang up. Quickly. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your only fear, and let him be your only dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitation, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal a law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. I will look only for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that matter, and that mutters, should not a people seek me unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Amen? Let's go to Psalm. Let's go to, we're still in Rome. Let's go to Romans 9. And is that where we were? What did I just read?
Isaiah 9.
Okay, let's now go to... I didn't write these in order for Ronnie. Let's go to Romans 9. Ronnie can only go one way in his Bible, so I have to try to get everything in order here.
Nine.
He's talking about the Jew and the gospel, and then I didn't want to go through all that. Let's just read one verse. We'll read two verses. 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. How many times has he been the rock of offense to you? Every time something you wanted to do didn't work. You see that? So many times people's prayers really in reality are saying, Jesus, get away from me so I can finish this thing. So, you then become a rock of, you are offended by him, and he's offended by you. All right, let's go to Romans 11.
What's the other side of the coin of humility?
Pride. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, in 9, again, a stumbling block is the same thing as the rock of offense. Okay? Let me see, just to try to keep it in order. Let's go to Matthew 13.
Just close your book and start over.
I'm sorry, Bonnie. I should have done that. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for making fun of Ronnie.
No.
One of your favorite things.
One of my favorite things is what?
To make fun of Ronnie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only Ronnie that I pick on.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Picking on everybody.
Matthew
13.
15.
13, right? 13.
This is the parable where he's parable of the sower. He answered and said unto them, verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, now this is sperma, the word sperma. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Matthew 18. Verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Now, how do you offend? This is, again, this word scandalon. How do you offend one of these my little ones? You offend them by teaching self-realization in the name of God. You offend them by trying to get to the other side of the cross without the cross in you. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I say unto these preachers of the prosperity gospel, woe. How many little ones have you offended? How many little ones have you? Now, the mind says, well, Ollie, you're the one that offends all the time.
Who says that?
Your mind.
So you offend by making Jesus a partner instead of the authority?
No, you make you, I'm offended by you have by you existing and he doesn't. But you're still in his name.
But I'm just trying to understand.
I'm so sincere. All right. Let's go now to Luke 17.
Just as a comment, like that was a big turn for me to see that those things which were gained to me, including spiritual understanding,
are lost to Christ.
Yeah. It was like a wonderful moment.
I remember that moment.
Yeah. Great, because I'm not responsible to retain all this information. That's not for me.
If it is for you, it'll happen. It'll be remembered when it's time to speak.
Yeah. And God is quite adequate.
Well, again, this is it's just I wanted to get to Luke's version of this, so let's hear this. And verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass. Now, against thee isn't in the text, and you just take a pencil and mark that out. If thy brother trespass, but against thee isn't in the text, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn it again to him, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Anyhow. This woe, you understand what this parable of where millstone tied around his neck and he cast into the sea, you remember what that was about? Let me just review it again real quickly. The sacrifices for the temple had to be inspected. First of all, they could only go to in this particular distance. I think the distance was 16 miles or something. I can't remember. But they could only go so far from the place of sacrifice. If they went farther, then they weren't accepted. But then when they brought them into the temple area, and the priests or Levites that inspected them for flaws, if they found a flaw, then that animal could be used for nothing. You couldn't kill it and eat the meat. That animal had to be destroyed because he was ordained for sacrifice, and he couldn't be used for anything else. And so he was put in a separate pen, and they literally, many times during Israel, they led these cattle and put them on this huge barge in the Dead Sea and tied a millstone around her neck. Millstone was just a stone they'd been using to grind, you know, for wheat, and then it broke or something. So they were all over the place. And they were used then, that was tied around his neck and dipped into the sea. Now the other half of it is, then after he was killed in this for the sacrifice, and they inspected, there's another inspection, they had to find out if the inward organs were satisfactory. If they weren't, then all of that meat, now dead meat, was put on this barge and dumped into the sea. And so this parable here that he's talking about, a millstone being, everybody knew about this because is a big deal. Why don't we use that meat to feed the poor? You can't, because it was dedicated. So what he's saying, if you offend one of the little ones, then it's better for you than if that same thing happened. Better than having a millstone cast around your neck and you were thrown off the barge alive. And I don't know if you've ever been to I've never been to the Dead Sea, but I've been to the Great Salt Lake Sea, whatever that thing is called. And the water is just terrible. There's so much salt that you float, you can't.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the picture.
Oh,
we're kind of gone overboard here.
Or somebody did.
I didn't. It's your fault, Joyce, because I didn't look at the clock. I'm going to do it, believe me, everything I just said. Take it, big guy.
If I set that up, can you be there to...